Well, thankful for what God did this morning. We're grateful for Samuel getting baptized, and praise the Lord for that. Brother Daniel's son getting following Christ in baptism this morning. That's always a joy. What a pleasure that was. And then it's just good to see everybody. We had a good crowd. I thank the Lord. There was 137 in the first service at 8:45, and then 4:55 or so, I think it was, in the second service. We're pushing right at 600, and we thank God for the attendance. But you say, well, does it matter really how many was here? Well, not except for the fact you can go crazy on attendance, but it does mean that that's how many people were here listening to the preaching, listening to the Word of God. And so that's where it really matters, not necessarily a certain number. But we thank the Lord for everybody who was in the children's church, in the primary church, in beginner's church, and thank God for everybody in Sunday school class, whether it be here or somewhere else. And so I'm just thankful the Spanish that were over there, Brother Dan, leaves from here and goes over and helps them until we can find somebody to come in. I want you to pray about that. And so we're just thankful for what God's done. And we're a joy to see him. Good to see Brother Bob Daniels back there. I didn't know if he'd make it back or not. He was here this morning. And us normal people needed a rest. And so I know that he needed a nap. But he's back. And so we're thankful for that. Well, I want you to look in Galatians chapter 6, if you will. We'll continue. You know, we've been absent a little bit for vacation. And then we had Lord's Supper last week. And so it's been just a little while. But we're continuing on in Galatians chapter 6 as we preach through this book. And we're getting close to the end. And I want to look at Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, 8, 9, and 10. And you could label this, do not be weary in well-doing, or whatever you could label it that. That's where it gets in here. That theme is given in this section. But we see in chapter 6 of Galatians. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so I want to preach for just a little while about that. Trust it'll be a blessing, and then we'll have our invitation and be dismissed from here. If you're able to stay with us for a few moments or a long time over at the Ice Cream Social, we'll have a good time together, but let's pray and get started in this message. Father, thank you for the time to get now down to your Word. I pray as we take another chunk of it and, Lord, digest it, I pray that it does its work in our lives and our hearts. I pray, dear Lord, that we don't just think that it's another service. I pray instead that we say, well, what do you have for me tonight? And folks, I do challenge you to have that outlook. Lord, show us what you'd have for us in these pages, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are many people who are counting on a forgetful God. Problem is, we don't have a forgetful God. The only thing that God doesn't remember against us is those sins that he said he'd remember no more. He'd cast them as far as the east is from the west. God doesn't forget anything except those things in his word that he said he would remember against you no more. Sometimes it's like the old saying that my dad used to say, that old timer said even when he was a kid, was that some people sow their wild oats and then they pray for a crop failure, meaning they want to go do whatever they want to do and do everything that comes under the sun and then have no repercussions from all of those things. Well, somebody said it like this: you can choose your actions, but you just can't choose your consequences. You can choose what you want to do. You're pretty well free on that. But what comes back around to you because of what you did, then you don't get to choose that part. So I want to look here at verse number 7. Be not deceived. We understand this verse, and many of you memorized it as a kid. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Of course, he's not. In verse number 8, it goes on, for he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. Those things are coming back to you, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want to give you this first thought about this, and we see here in these two verses of 7, 8, the boomerang. The boomerang, we've all done it. We did something wrong. We did something we shouldn't have done, and we were hoping that we didn't face the consequences of that. Be that when you were a kid and you did something you weren't supposed to, your parents told you not to, and you were sure hoping that dad didn't get in there on that one. You dented the car, you did this, you did something, and you were sure hoping that no one ever found out. My brother and I, we got a boomerang at a couple of them at a flea market. There was selling some cheap stuff. It was just all new stuff, but we got these boomerangs, and so we thought we're going to be like those Australian people. I said, "Oh yeah, we've seen them on those TV shows. We know how to do it." And so we took that thing and we whizzed it, and we thought out there, and we just waited, just wanting it to come on back. But it was a one-way boomerang. It didn't come back. It just kept on sailing. I thought, boy, oh boy, oh boy. So we ran out there and got it and came back. My brother had the idea. We weren't smart enough to throw it back the other way. We kept going further and further away from the house. And so he had the idea, you just didn't throw it hard enough. So he really swung back and he said, I can throw it harder than that. And he thought by throwing it harder would get it better, but it didn't do any better than what mine did. So it just went further away from the house out in the cow field that we were in. We surmised that there was a seal, it wasn't good enough. So this time we really wrung her back and we flung that thing and it still didn't work. We got a defective boomerang. Well, they're supposed to work, but somehow you've got to put a little technique, or a little bit of skill, and apparently us West Virginia boys, we didn't have it. So that's not a good illustration, except I have seen times when people use them on video and they really do come back. And this is what we see in this passage. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Thank God that there's forgiveness when you do something to your family, and your family forgives you. But that hurt can't be taken away. Somebody says this, oh, forgive and forget. How many of you are hard at that forgiving or that forgetting part? Maybe you are good at the forgiving part. And I find that we even have a little difficulty on that one. But if we can forgive, we have a hard time forgetting. Some person said, man, my wife, she just gets all wound up. She gets all historical. He said, don't you mean she gets hysterical? No. I said, when I get in trouble, she gets historical. She remembers everything I've ever done that was wrong. We don't do very good on that forgiving and forgetting. We say forgive and forget, it doesn't work. But thank God there's forgiveness with Him. He says in 1 John 1, He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you understand that even though God forgives us, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I'm talking about believers now. Cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Those relationships that we wreaked havoc on, those aren't immediately put back just because we're forgiven by God. That spouse that you were unfaithful to, that relationship that you just sliced and diced, that's going to take a long time to rebuild back. The boomerang is true. We've still got to deal with the reaping that comes. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, he'll reap. Those things are coming back up. You remember Achan? He was that fellow in the Old Testament that hid that Babylonish garment, hid that wedge of silver, and it took dividends. It repaid back in a bad way on he and his family. You know that David, he sinned with Bathsheba. Did he get it right? Yes, that's what that Psalm 51 or wherever it is about, under thee, Lord, have I sinned. We understand that he got right, but he still faced the consequences of those sins. And so that boomerang is coming back. Peter, as he denied the Lord and he cursed and he denied him again, Did the Lord forgive him? Yes, but he had to look face to face with Jesus and look in the eyes of the person who said, you're going to deny me thrice before the rooster crows twice. And so I'm just looking at this in our lives. Please, it'd be a whole lot better off for you as a believer and me as a believer. Don't get into it to begin with. If you're an adult in here and you're looking at the children and you're saying, I've made a lot of mistakes, you'd be better off not to get in those mistakes. Don't you have a God that forgives you? I sure do. Don't you have a God that restores you? I still do. Isn't this room full of people who have made all kinds of mistakes and yet they still can go on and serve the Lord? Yes, it's full of those people. And yes, they can go on and serve the Lord. Our church is full of broken people. But every one of those broken people would love to take a young person before they get involved in that sin, before they get involved in those wickedness, before they get involved in all the things that the world has to offer. They'd say like my dad did, boy, I know where a lot of these roads lead. You don't have to go down them. Learn from me. So there is forgiveness with the Lord, no doubt. There is that He restores us. There's nobody perfect from me to you, from the front row to the back pew to the pew, and anywhere else. There's nobody that's perfect. All of us get involved in sin, and we get it right. But every one of those sometimes, we remind it that it takes a little toll on us. Not in our relationship, certainly not, but not even in our fellowship after we get right with the Lord. But it still has some things, so I see the boomerang. I want you to look on, in verse number 9. Not only do we see the boomerang in 7 and 8, but I want you to see that we're supposed to be diligent. It's commanded to be diligent in verse number 9. The Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Some people use verse number 7 to scare young people. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It says you go out there and you live wickedly in the world, then those things are going to come back to you. And that's true. But do you know that verse is not only true in the negative, it's also true in the positive. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Since we reap what we sow, all we got to do is plant good stuff. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the one that started Bob Jones University, I've heard him I never heard him in person, but I've heard audio recordings of him. He would tell those young people, he'd say, do right, he had a gravelly voice. He said, though the stars fall out of God's heaven, do right. Because he wanted those young people to have reaping the good things that he was trying to get them to sow. They've always told me that character is doing right even when nobody is watching. And that's where it comes into our chance to reap the good things of the what we sowed in our lives. Anybody see you give that money that you slipped to a missionary when he was here last month? Anybody see you studying for that Sunday school lesson in the dark hours of the morning on the week before your lesson? Anybody see you help somebody out here in the parking lot that they'd fallen or they couldn't get in their car and you helped them in? Anybody see you come through here through the week and clean and volunteer and let your services be given to the Lord? Does anybody know that you prepared for that junior church and you prayed and you got that child in your mind? You thought, well, they need to be saved. Does anybody know that you came and that you did something? Does anybody know for those doors that you knocked on trying to get somebody to ride a church bus? Well, the answer is, who do you want to know about it? Are we wanting to be seen of men, or do we want the Lord to be pleased? Who do you do the things you, why do you do the things you do, and who do you do them for? Do you do them for the praise of men, or do you do them for the Lord? And I would submit to you that we ought to do them for the Lord. That teaching, that cleaning, that helping, that greeting, that ushering. Amen. Somebody sees you. Sometimes we're about like kids. We wait till our parents are in there, and then we start really cleaning, and we start getting everything in line when mom's looking. Now, when she's not looking, we lean back and keep on watching our videos. But we ought to be diligent, the Bible says in verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Sometimes it feels like you're laboring and nobody's paying attention. It feels like you're working and nobody's giving you credit. It feels like you're the only one doing something. And I know that many of us in our families, we may feel like we're the only ones standing, or we're the only ones going to church, or we're the only ones doing this, or we're the only ones doing that. The Bible says to you, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So I'm telling you tonight, be diligent. Be diligent. Keep on serving the Lord. Keep on loving your family. Keep on being faithful to your spouse. You say, well, nobody else in my family is faithful to their marriages. We've had four divorces in this family member. We've had two in that one. So what? Be faithful to those bond of marriage that you gave. Be diligent, the Bible says. Let us not be weary in well-doing. And I want you to look at verse number 10. Not only do we see that boomerang and the command to be diligent in our work, but then in verse number 10, I want you to write this down if you're taking notes, and that is, be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for what? Well, be on the lookout as you have therefore opportunity to do good unto all men, especially unto those who are the household of faith. Now we get down to the nuts and bolts of this section. We understand whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Yes, there's forgiveness with God. You can get things right, but it'd be better not to get wrong. That would be to get wrong than get right. Better just to stay right all along. The boomerang's coming back. Be diligent. But since you know that you'll reap what you sow, let's put that knowledge into action. in this verse, there's only one group of people that you have to be good to in this life. You see it right there? The only ones you have to be good to is this group, all men and women. Don't think you can get off the hook that easy. Some of you men back there, all right, well, praise the Lord. I don't have to worry about my wife. No, it's her too. It's her too. It's understood. That's the only group of people you got to be good to, everybody. Amen. It's the same group of people that you're on display as a Christian to, all men. You say, Pastor, I don't want to be on display. Well, too bad. You say, Pastor, I don't want people to watch my life. I don't either all the time. Pastor, I like kick down, I like to kick back, let my hair down. Well, you see what happened to Leroy when he let his hair down. You say, Pastor, I don't want to be on display. Well, I don't have that option. And not because I'm the pastor, but because I'm a Christian. And you don't have that option. We got a whole world that's watching. You say, I don't want them to watch us. I know, but they do anyways. You ever think about this? Everybody's a testimony for the Lord. Some are bad, some are good, but everybody's a testimony, got a testimony for the Lord. And so the Bible says here that we ought to have, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And then it says, make double sure that you take good care of those Christian brothers and sisters. There's a special bond here. There's a special bond. I see it when you go to the hospital. And I remember there was, I was visiting somebody some time back. And this this large nurse, she was helping. And she knew I was a pastor. And people were coming in and out, in and out, in and out. And I couldn't get to share the gospel with this person. And finally, this large, tall nurse, and she said, Pastor, we'll fix him. And she just walked back up against that door. She shut the door behind her. And then she just put all of her weight into that door. She said, you go ahead. That Christian sister was helping me. She knew what I was there for. And she was taking care of the pastor that was coming in, making sure he had time to pray with this person, share the gospel with them. And the Bible says that we ought to do good unto all men, and especially unto those that are the household of faith. This church, and any church, ought to be a loving, forgiving, caring, overlooking place. You say, overlooking? What do you mean? I mean looking beyond some of those faults of people. You say, you talking about covering up sin? Not in your life. If there was somebody that I knew was involved in something, and it was in my own family, I'd remove them from teaching a class as quick as I'd remove anybody else if I thought somebody was making somebody unsafe. I'm not talking about overlooking stuff, but I am talking about overlooking some faults of ours. You say, boy, that person's kind of short with somebody. I know, and so am I sometimes. Boy, that person's not as patient as they should be. I know, pray for me too. I'm not always as patient as I should be. Well, that person was a little short-tempered. Well, I know, and so are I. So am I, just like that person said, when you point one finger, you got several more pointing back at you when you point to somebody else. And the Bible says, be especially good unto those that are the household of faith. Back it up here. What if every church member were as kind, gracious, forgiving, overlooking, compassionate, and loving as you are? If we duplicated you 500 times, and I know what some of you wives are thinking, oh Lord, have mercy. We've got enough trouble with one of him. I don't need 499 more of him. But think with me, if every church member were as faithful to Jesus, as kind, as compassionate, as forgiving, as forbearing as you are, and I'll look at myself, what kind of church would this be? Am I counting on people to make allowances for me and I'm just capitalizing on the kindnesses of somebody else? Well, if I am, then the scriptures tell me here, well, when you get opportunity, keep your eye out. That's why I'm calling this section, be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for a time to do good unto all men. Don't worry about getting credit for it. That was covered up in the first part. God's watching. Why should we care about anybody else? Don't worry about whether somebody gives you credit for it. Don't worry about whether anybody notices it. Just be on the lookout. It doesn't have to be around church here. It can be around your neighborhood. You say, well, nobody's going to know about it. That's even better. As much as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. I'd love for every one of us to march out of this church and be do-gooders. We usually say that in a negative way, don't we? Oh, he's just a do-gooder. But that's what God says I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be a do-gooder. I'm supposed to be helping people out, the ones I work with. I'm supposed to be helping people out, the ones I see at Food City. That means I let them go first. That means I help somebody if they're having trouble with this. As much as we there have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. So we start off in this passage in verse number 7, reminding ourselves, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you give out, it's coming back to you. Patch the pirate who went to heaven here a few months ago had that song, The Boomerang's Gonna Come Back, It's Gonna Come Back, It's Gonna Come Back to You, if your kids listened to those when they were growing up. And that's true, it's coming back. But I don't want you to go out of here being selfish and say, well, I'm gonna be nice to people so people be nice back to me. Let's not do that, but it is a principle, what you do will come back. But I do want you to go out of here and decide, I'm gonna be a do-gooder for the glory of God because I'm seen of Him. I'm performing, my pastor says, John, you ought to preach for an audience of one. I said, that doesn't sound like a very good crowd. He said, I'm not talking about that crowd, I'm talking about that one. Amen. Preach faithfully to the Word of God for the approval of one. Well, that's how we all ought to be living. Yeah. Be looking for opportunities to help somebody. Why? So that somebody will pat me on the back and say, well, I can't believe how kind you were. No. So I say, wow, you really had a great number on your bus. You really helped that family out. You really did that. No. So that the Lord would be pleased with what I do. I want to give you just a couple thoughts as you take home tonight. Number one, that person you didn't think got punished enough, God sees them. I meet people all the time that think somebody didn't get what was coming to them. According to verse number 7, God's got it taken care of. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That means he didn't need you as an instrument of his vengeance. I know that some of us want to help God out in that department. So, Lord, I got this one. You go ahead and do something else. But he says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. So, first of all, remember that person you didn't think get punished enough, God sees it. Number two, that activity you thought was unnoticed. Good or bad, it's coming back around. Don't worry about it. Amen. Don't worry about that. That activity you was involved in, you've been trying to raise your children faithfully, you've been trying to be good to your spouse and just seems like it's really rocky right now. Don't worry, God notices that. And then number three, the last one, take opportunity this week to be good to people. You say, I won't get noticed. We'll get noticed in heaven. Take opportunity to be good to your coworkers. Take opportunity to be good to your parents. Take opportunity to be good to your neighbors. That's what the Scripture says. You say, Pastor, that doesn't sound very profound. That sounds like something they teach me in kindergarten. You know, there's a lot of interesting stories that or a lot of lessons got taught in kindergarten we do good to employ in our life right now. That person you didn't think got punished enough, God knows. That activity you thought went unnoticed, that good deed you did for somebody, don't worry about it. God noticed it. That's coming back around. And then number three, just take opportunity to be good to people. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to come to the instruments and play for us. And as they come and play, this very just nuts and bolts practical section tells us not to be weary in well-doing. And I'm just going to ask everybody to make a decision in your seat right there. Because I believe that all of us get weary in well-doing. Why else would God put it in there? Because he knows we have a tendency to do it. I've been working and I've been trying. I've been going forward. When they get a chance, when you get to wherever you're going, just start playing. I've been working. I've been trying. But it doesn't get noticed. Well, if you're meaning I didn't notice it, you may be right. But if you're meaning God didn't notice it, nope, not in your life. He noticed. Be not weary in well-doing. My friend, I'm asking everybody to make a decision right there in your seat. We'll say, Lord, if you're watching, that's good enough. Now, if you've got convicted because you're involved in some stuff that you shouldn't be involved in, and you said, oh, Lord, please have mercy on me, then make that right with God too. get right with Him right there where you are. But I think most of you are probably, you're trying to do right. Just seems a little weary because it doesn't seem like it's really getting paying off right now. Well, we're not on the quick return policy. Sometimes God moves a little slower than what you do or what you want Him to. Would you just commit right there to the Lord? Lord, You said it. I'm going to just obey it. I'm not going to be weary in well-doing. I'm going to keep on doing right. You've got some family members you've been trying to win through your testimony. Keep on doing it. You've got some children, they don't go to church. You got some adult children, they don't go to church anywhere. You think, boy, it's just not even paying off. Well, I tell you, it's a good thing to be back in church on Sunday night. They may not have noticed this Sunday night, but they'll notice one of these Sunday nights. Be not weary in well-doing. Does it even matter that I'm raising my kids to be in church and trying to teach them right from wrong? Oh, yeah. So it seems like so-and-so is getting along better than I am, and he's not doing any of this stuff. Be not weary in well-doing. In due season you shall reap if you faint not. Father, bless us now is our prayer. We'll certainly thank You for what You do. I pray that You may help everyone make decisions before You. If you're able to, would you stand together as they continue to play and God speak to your heart? I invite you to come. Maybe you want to come pray about something at this altar. Then it's certainly open for you. Just want to tell Lord, I want to stay on the firing line, dear Lord. I've been in down the mully grubs. I've been thinking nobody pays attention to me. I've been thinking what I'm doing didn't really matter. Well, you may not be making headlines on this earth, my brother. But let's remember, we're not trying to make headlines down here. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. My friend, I guess I'm telling you to turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you're here before they quit playing, if you're here tonight, not sure you're saved, would you step out from your seat and come right down here to the front and me or somebody will take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved? Do you hear some or feel some little knock on your heart's door? Would you step out and come? Just get someone to show you from the Scriptures. Beyond your feelings, beyond your desires, but from the Word of God, how you can receive Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Thank you so much. You can look this way. Well, we want to get, thank the Lord for you being here. I really do. And I look out over this crowd and I think one of these days, I mentioned before, one of these days will be the last time I get to preach. And if this is it, then I'll thank God for the opportunity and thank Him for you being here with me. And But I'm going to take another whack at you on Wednesday. I'm planning to. I'm just saying one of these days it'll be the last. And so what a joy to be in church. If you brought ice cream, we love you. So much so, we're going to dismiss you to go get your ice cream and get it ready. And so Allie brought some in, but Daniel's taking care of it now, so we're good. And so if you got ice cream, go get it. If you forgot it, we don't love you as much. I'm sorry about that. I just have to be honest. But if you know, we love you too. But if you brought ice cream, go on and get that. Brother Dan's going to come up and share just a couple things about us. I'd love for you to think about this project that he's going to... event that he's going to share with us. You can be seated if you want. He's just going to take a few minutes and then we'll be dismissed. We'll let them get our ice cream, get it ready, get it scooped out. And now, if it's good, Allie and I, we brought chocolate, what is it now? Chocolate cookies and cream. It's chocolate ice cream with cookies and cream in it, but hurry up and get there or go fast. I know it will, but we'll try all of it and we'll have a good time. I know that Steve Mullins brought a lot, and so I'm hoping to get over by his table. And so we don't like Steve, but we're going to be over by him this time, that's for sure. So now we love him too. But all right, Brother Dan, come to us.
As you know, last year we had a missions month emphasis. This year we're changing it up just a little bit, and we are going to have a missions revival. We have titled it The Great Mission. Some of you know that as the Great Commission. The Great Mission, this coming September the 7th through the 10th. But on September the 3rd, we have two missionaries with us that morning and evening. You don't want to miss September the 3rd, that Sunday. And then during the week, we will switch our Wednesday night service to Thursday night. So we'll not meet on Wednesday, but we'll meet on Thursday. We'll also meet on Friday, both nights at 7 o'clock. And then Saturday, the ladies have an event from 10 o'clock in the morning till 12. They'll meet. And then once again, Sunday morning, just like you would experience here on a regular weekend, Sunday morning and Sunday night. Our guest speaker for that week is Dr. Scott Caudill. He'll be speaking. His wife will speak to the ladies on Saturday. You do not want to miss it. Now, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, something that I learned when I got here, there's something that you do that is an amazing and a wonderful gift to the missionary. And you overwhelm the missionary with this, and they can afford to be overwhelmed, especially while they're on deputation. But you collect gift cards before our missions month or our missions revival, and then we have the opportunity to hand them a book, a little book that looks like a business card booklet, and it's loaded with gift cards. You should see their faces. And it's like going grocery shopping. I mean, it is like Christmas, and they open that up, and they see that, and it's a blessing. And you have blessed missionaries in the past with gas cards and Walmart cards and Visa cards and any kind of card. Whatever your favorite is, you bless somebody else with that favorite. So I would ask, we do have the little stand. There's a little mailbox as you come into the foyer there. You'll see it already. And if you're out and about and you think about it, the Holy Spirit leads you to buy a gift card for a missionary. We have at least six missionaries that we're going to be blessing. These are missionaries that we are considering to take on for support. And you have given to the Lord, you've given to missions, and we're able to do that, and we are excited about what's going to happen. And I would encourage you to do that again. We have that mailbox out there, and let's go ahead and start thinking about that. Don't wait till the last minute, and because they'll start coming in on September the 3rd, and we need to bless them with that, as well as other things that we have planned for them. You'll hear more about it as you come, and there'll be some slides that you'll get to meet them before they're here. Well, how many are ready for ice cream? Shall we pray? Lord, bless the ice cream and the other things that we're going to receive into our bodies, and please convert them to nutrients as they go down. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.